Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, Herod the Great was a brilliant architect and a builder. About a year ago, National Geographic read an article, a lot of pictures about some of the major building projects of his time. And even 2,000 years later, the ruins of the palaces are simply breathtakingly beautiful. Herod the Great was a masterful political strategist. He rose from an unknown family in the Nabataean desert and became a friend of the Roman Empire and a friend of the Roman Emperor. Herod was also paranoid, historians tell us. He was ruthlessly, desperately paranoid, fearful of the slightest possibility that his rule could be undermined in any way. And no one came close to him without falling under some kind of suspicion. As a matter of fact, Herod killed his two sons out of that kind of paranoia. And as a matter of fact, he killed his wife, whom he loved dearly, because he suspected that she was somehow undermining his authority. And then he built a beautiful tower, called it Miriame, in her memory. He was brilliant. He was fearful. He was ruthless. And into that mix came these mysterious figures whom we call the Magi, highlighted in Matthew's gospel right at the beginning, because from the beginning, Matthew wanted to prepare carefully and consistently for the commission, the great commission at the end of the gospel, namely to go out and make disciples of all nations. They were welcomed at the beginning, and at the end they became an object of missionary zeal. But the Magi were pagans. The Magi were astrologists. They studied the heavens, almost like our Central American Mayans have done. And they calculated the orbits of the planets and the stars. They knew a great deal. The Magi were descendants of ancient Assyrian Babylonian enemies of Israel. They were intensely disliked by pious Jewish people. They were objects of long-standing prejudice, enmity, even contempt. You'd be embarrassed if one of your children decided to marry one. It would just be very, very socially unacceptable. And there they came. And Matthew wants to make a point of saying that not only did they come, and not only did they have to deal with all kinds of obstacles that Herod threw in the way, but they were welcome at the crib. They were welcome into Matthew's early Christian community as long as they came in humble respect and came to acknowledge this child is somehow in an unexpected way the King of creation and the Lord of history, much to the chagrin of people like Herod. And so the main point of Epiphany, or the Feast of Tres Reyes, as our Puerto Rican neighbors, fellow Catholics, call this feast today, the main point is that outsiders and strangers are welcome. They're welcome among the disciples of Jesus. And as a matter of fact, looking at any crib, including the beautiful one over here, the creche in the side little chapel, alcove, here at the cathedral, they didn't have to change their clothes to come. They didn't have to change their customs. They didn't have to look like the rest of us. And that's the great revelation described in our second reading from Ephesians, that Gentiles, non-Jews, were suddenly respected, welcomed as co-heirs of the kingdom. It's almost as if they showed up at the reading of a family will, much to the surprise of everybody else, wondering where all these folks came from. They're not members of the family, but they are. They came, they're co-heirs, they're part of the family in ways we hadn't ever anticipated. You know, perhaps the ancient custom of blessing homes on the Feast of Epiphany, and blessing a home and also indicating that that home had been blessed by using chalk on the door of the home. At least that's part of the custom I knew as growing up as a kid. And whoever blessed the house, or even if it wasn't specially blessed, the head of the family or mother would write in chalk a cross, and then C for Casper, and then another little cross, and then M for Melchior, and then another little cross, and a B for Belsar, and another cross, and then the date of the year, 2012. And it was on the door to indicate that outsiders are welcome. So that's part of our history and part of what we celebrate on this day. And precisely for that reason, our Archdiocesan Priest Council, with the approval and recommendation, encouragement of the Archbishop, said that today on the Feast of Epiphany, we really ought to say a couple of words this morning on the pressing contemporary issue of immigration reform. Because the gospel isn't only about ancient world, it isn't only about encouraging faithful Jews to welcome Gentiles into their Christian community, but it's also about the type of welcome that we need to extend to outsiders and newcomers today. The issue is very complex, but it has a fascinating history, and we need to reclaim that history or allow history to reclaim us in the process. Initially, anybody coming to this country came to Ellis Island and had a physical exam. If you were healthy enough and didn't have any contagious diseases and you looked like you could work, come in. And then they began to have different criteria, and especially excluding some people. As a matter of fact, well, excluding the Irish and excluding the Italians, partially because they were Catholic, but also because they were poor. And they changed the character of this country. And gradually quotas came in as to who could come and who couldn't. It was not always easy to come, but virtually every one of us come from ancestors of some other part of the world who came here, and not always welcome. My own family, Slovak heritage. My mother was not... We didn't have our own Slovak church 100 years ago. My mother and her family were not welcomed in the neighboring Catholic church. They had to go to the Lithuanians. Lithuanians said, we'll take in anybody. And so she was baptized in a different kind of church. But that's all part of the history. And until recent years, as a matter of fact, here in this country, the undocumented were primarily Irish and Eastern European, looking for a better place to raise children and get a good education and solidify their family. So that history is fascinating. The issue is complex today. It really is. But this feast demands, invites that we think about it. The legitimate rule of law is important for a society that is governed by law. But the law has to be in service of human dignity. The pressing need of the poor, the integrity of families that shouldn't be split up to the detriment of the family itself, shouldn't be violated out of prejudice or discrimination. The need of our own nation for laborers, sometimes to do the kind of work that nobody else wants to do. And all of that is part of this moment when we need to review and reform the immigration system. History reminds us that it's not always so simple. And history reminds us that fences certainly aren't the answer. So on this day, we recall that Herod tried to keep the Magi away out of fear for his own position. And on this day, we also recall, though it's not in the gospel, it's an action Herod took afterwards, of the importance of children, preborn, newborn, some of the campaigns here in this city these days to remind us of the greater care for children we need to take, all of us. This day reminds us that we find some way to respect and welcome outsiders in a way that acknowledges human dignity and the Christian rule of society. I love this feast. I know that Easter has its own beauty of light and darkness and new life and water and baptism, but somehow this feast claims me in a different way. It actually invites me to take a closer look at the prejudices that lurk in the corner of my heart. Every one of them, even the most simple and foolish at times. To look kindly on Illinois license plates. And to recognize that sometimes I hope that they would let the people in another state would look kindly on mine. I mean, all of these things come together on this magnificent feast of the Epiphany, calling us to welcome strangers, to care for little children, to find God's presence in some of the most ordinary and wonderful things in our world. And this is the day that brings Christmas to a conclusion and tomorrow baptism of Jesus to the season to conclusion. God is good.